Welcome to the Mac Power Users 2018 Relay Members Only Bonus Show. This is very awkward. I don't know how to start this show.
Okay.
But I guess that works. So welcome, everybody.
Yeah, we don't do this one very often. But so once a year, we do a bonus show just for the subscribing members. And I guess we should start off just saying thank you. If you're listening to this, that means you are a subscriber to the Relay Network or to Mac Power Users in particular. And we really appreciate your support.
We try to do a little something special each year for the bonus show. So we're not going to talk about technology. We're not going to talk about Macs. We're not going to talk about iPhones or iPads or anything like that. We decided we're going to do something different for these bonus episodes, and we're going to do something really different this year.
Yeah. We decided we're going to do a movie, and Katie was nice enough to say, you get to pick first. Next year, we'll do one of her favorite movies. So she said, pick your favorite movie. I'll watch it and we can talk about it on the bonus show. And the movie I picked was, drumroll, E.T.
This surprised me, but I remember you saying on the show previously that you really enjoyed E.T. Of course, everybody thought that the movie we'd be talking about was Empire Strikes Back. That's what I thought. I was like, yeah, I'm looking forward to watching Empire
or again. Star Wars.
Or the original one.
Yeah.
But E.T. So... Let's start off this. Tell me why E.T. Tell me about your love affair with E.T.
Yeah. So when it came out, I was, it came out in 19.
Younger.
Yeah. I was younger.
It came out in 1982, I think, right?
I was about the age of Elliot in the movie. And, when it came out, it was a great age for movies, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Star Wars. You know, there's some great movies coming out by Steven Spielberg and his friends. But the E.T. came out, which was just kind of a strange movie. It wasn't like Star Wars, but it was just a simple movie about a kid and an alien. And I went and saw it and I loved it. I got so invested in that movie. I guess I'll talk about that later. How are we going to do this? Are we going to talk about the plot of the movie or are we just going to talk?
I've got some random notes about the movie, but... I mean, but I want to know why you love E.T. as a starter. Yeah.
I'm one of those people that gets easily emotionally invested in things. I mean, I guess I'm emotionally invested in products that have Apple logos on them. So why wouldn't I get emotionally invested in a little movie about a kid and an alien? But, so I went and saw it with some friends. And like I said, I was about the age group of Elliot and his pals, you know, on the bikes. And that's one of the, you know, I loved it as a kid, but for the story, now I love it as an adult for nostalgia. And I'll get to that later. But either way, so I went to the movie, rode my bike with the group of kids, just like the kids in the movie. I actually had a friend that wore a ski mask, you know, we all did. And you know, the crazy radios that you would put over your ears. But I got so absorbed in the movie that at that big moment where the music swells at the end and they're riding down the street and all the police cars are parked and you know that it's just over for them, and then the music swells and they just lift off into the sky, you know, I screamed and whooped out loud in the theater. I've never done that in my entire life, never in a Star Wars movie, never in any movie, but I was so happy at that one moment that I literally just unloaded into the theater, and all my friends looked at me like, what has happened to this guy? He's crazy, you know. But that it really touched me as a kid. So that's the starting point. And I guess just to kind of give you the big overview, I loved it as a kid, but I didn't see it that many times. I mean, my parents, we didn't have the budget in our house to see a movie more than once, but I think I did actually see it twice. And then they played it on TV a lot as I was growing up because it was a very popular movie at its time. And then I didn't watch it for like, you know, 20 years or something. And then when my first kid was kind of young, I said, well, let's watch E.T. again. And so we got the DVD or the VHS. It was probably the VHS at that point. And we watched it. And I found myself just getting sucked into the movie just as much. But it was interesting to me because as an adult watching E.T., as a kid, when I watched it, I associated with Elliot, you know, the primary, you know, character in the movie that works with E.T.
Now you associate with E.T.?
Well, no, now that's what you think, right? Actually, I associate with Keys, you know, the guy with the keys, you know, I mean, can you imagine there's an alien at loose in our community? And trying to be safe, and maybe he's with these kids, and are the kids okay? You know, I could kind of understand the movie from a different angle. But so that was interesting to me, seeing it from a completely different viewpoint after all those years. But what really got me was just the, you know, take E.T. out of it. And that is as close of a picture of my childhood as I've ever seen in a movie. You know, the, me and my buddies, like I said, we had the crazy bikes. We rode all around. I mean, for younger listeners, you know, there were no pagers, phones or anything. So our parents had no idea where we were at any time. Every day during the summer, we got on our bikes and we rode into the hills and we just had a great time. And it's amazing that we all lived through it. And then we would play D&D at night, just like they did in the show. And even just, you know, the crazy character quirks and the way they dressed, it was just exactly what I had growing up. So it's fun watching it with my kids and telling them that was, you know, you don't, you know, my life was a little different than yours is. And, you know, it always changes over generations. But if you want to know what mine was like, that was it. I mean, we did ride our bikes around construction zones and we did go out later. I mean, just all the crazy stuff. I mean, Halloween when I was growing up was not the safe and friendly thing it is now. I mean, you know, people, yeah, I don't know. It's just, I'm rambling, so I should stop. But it is really nostalgic for me to watch that.
So I did not see E.T. in the theaters, but I did see it in the mid 80s. So I definitely saw it on VHS tape, I'm sure, at that point. I saw it multiple times when I was a kid. I think it was a very popular movie to watch, like at summer camp. I think we might, I don't know if we owned it or not, but maybe we did later. But I know it was a movie that I saw, you know, like at summer camp and summer school and those types of things. But I enjoyed E.T., but I will tell you, I probably haven't watched E.T. in 20 years, maybe 25 years. I've not seen E.T. as an adult, other than, you know, just snippets here and there. And when I watched E.T., I watched it last weekend as we're recording this, so about 4 or 5 days ago. I bought it. I had it on iTunes because I'd bought it years ago because it was one of those movies that I just thought that I should own because it's one of these classic movies. There was a lot of, obviously I remembered the plot and I knew Elliot and I knew, you know, what was going on there, but there was a lot of stuff that I didn't pick up that I now picked up and remembered. And there was a couple of things that really surprised me about the movie watching it as an adult. And, I think the movie ages pretty well in terms of the story that it tells. It's kind of a boy and his alien story instead of a boy and his dog story.
Well, it also ages well, I think, in terms of tempo. Like, we went through a thing with our kids where we tried to share with them a lot of the movies we grew up with, Ferris Bueller and some of these movies, and some of them, like Karate Kid, we watched it with the kids and it is so slow. It was just killing us to watch that movie. And the way they shoot movies now, they go much faster. E.T. does just fine. I think it holds up really well.
Well, we're so easily distractible now. I mean, back then we didn't have cell phones or anything like that we could be distracted by. We just sat there and watched the movie. That's what you did. But yeah, there were a couple of interesting things. And I didn't realize, I mean, I knew that E.T. was a Steven Spielberg movie because, you know, it was quite famously a Steven Spielberg movie. I didn't realize all the other big players that were involved in E.T. Like, did you know that this movie was produced by Kathleen Kennedy?
Yeah, who now are in Star Wars.
Right. So, yeah, that's pretty awesome. And the other thing that I didn't know if this was a reason that you liked it or not, or maybe it was just a reason that you related to it. The number of Star Wars references in E.T. was, at this point, it just borders on funny. And I think that was truly a tribute because I know Steven Spielberg and George Lucas were good friends. But, Elliot plays with Star Wars characters throughout the movie. He shows E.T. his little Star Wars men that he has. And I really enjoyed that in. Can we give spoilers for E.T.? I mean, the movie's been out since 1982. Are we good? 36 years later to give spoilers for the movie. At Halloween, when they have E.T. dressed up as a ghost, E.T. sees Yoda in a Halloween costume and recognizes him. And there's actually kind of a nod to that because the E.T. species shows up later in Star Wars. I think it's episode one.
And the Senate chamber.
In the Senate chambers. Yeah.
Also in that scene in E.T. where E.T. sees Yoda, John Williams inserts one line of the Yoda theme into the soundtrack. If you listen to it, they play one pass at the little Yoda vignette, which I just love so much.
Which is allowable because John Williams did the E.T. soundtrack.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the soundtrack is a whole separate thing. We should probably talk about that later because I think that's almost a character in this movie. But the just to go on your point of how he's doing all these nods to Star Wars, the reason is because at the time, this is not really him trying to be cutesy, but at the time, all little boys like me were obsessed with Star Wars because that's all we had. I mean, it wasn't like today where you have the Marvel Universe and Star Wars and this and that. And it's just like Star Wars was it. So we all obsessed on it. So, of course, Elliot would obsess on it, too.
Yeah, there were a lot of nods. I mean, there were a lot of things that I really enjoyed seeing in E.T. again. It took me back to a time when I was much younger, like, you know, the original Sesame Street, the Sesame Street that I grew up on was on the TV. The Speak and Spell that E.T. ultimately uses to get home. You know, lots of those things definitely resonated back. The other thing, and we have Universal Studios here that's associated with MGM. Do y'all have that in California?
Yeah.
Okay. There's the E.T. The Ride is here. Do you have one there?
I don't know. I haven't been in Universal. They used to. I don't know if it's there or not still.
I think most of my memories from E.T., although I watched the movie years ago, a lot of my memories from E.T. I think now come from the ride E.T. at Universal Studios.
I mean, there's a lot to kind of unpack looking at it as an adult. I mean, one of the things that occurs to me is as movies when I was a kid were not as sugary sweet as they are now. I mean, watching movies with my kids now.
I was going to talk about that. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
Where did that stand out for you?
Okay, so a couple of things about E.T. Like, keep in mind, life was very different in the late 70s, early 80s than it is now. You know, Elliot is what, 10 at that point, I think, in the movie-ish? Elliot's 10-ish in the movie. And he's sick, so he just stays at home by himself, you know? We don't. That was fine then. I don't think we do that now, but
that still happens. I mean, there's plenty of single parent families where there's no choice.
Where the 10-year-old stays home, but okay.
In general, the freedom of the kids.
Well, the 5-year-old, the sister, the Drew Barrymore character. By the way, Drew Barrymore was in this movie. Stayed home by herself for a little while. And I was like, okay, I don't know if we're gonna do that now.
I mean, just growing up, I remember. Like, we didn't wear seatbelts. We used to stand up in the back of the car and try and get trucks to honk. And, you know, it's just like so much of that stuff that we take for granted now. And even like with our children, even I'll admit, I live in Orange County, California. Hardly anything bad happens here. But we're all like panicked about our kids playing in the front yard. Whereas my parents' rule was, okay, just be home by the time it's dark. And that was it. They didn't know where I was. And it was just kind of we had more freedom at the time, and that's reflected in the movie.
I'll tell you one of the things that surprised me in the movie, and I don't think, and correct me if I'm wrong, E.T. was not a quote unquote kids movie at the time.
No, I think it was.
Was it a kids movie?
Yeah.
This, I mean, I think it was a young adult, but
it was sold as a kids movie.
Was it really sold as a kids movie? Yeah. Okay. I'll take your word for it. And I realize that this is true to life, but I'll tell you specifically, some of the boys, the older boys' crude behavior when they were playing Dungeon and Dragons at the beginning of the show towards the mom. I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. And that would never get through today. But that, I mean, if you think back, I mean, there was a kids movie at the time called Bad News Bears that they cursed, these little kids cursed through the whole movie. I mean, there was a lot of stuff like that. And there was some intensity too, like the scene where the spacemen just start coming in through all the doors, which I don't think you would see in a kids movie today.
No. And there was lots of crude name calling. I mean, we didn't have, you know, there weren't any curse words. I mean, they weren't, you know, saying a lot of the words that you see in R-rated movies or anything like that. But like, it was still quite rude. Like I would be upset, I think, if I had my 10-year-old or so watching that movie. And then all of a sudden they came away with a few newly learned phrases.
Yeah, but that, I mean, that's kind of, you look at movies made at the time, Goonies is another one that's got a lot of stuff like that going on, which was definitely a kid's movie, and it's got some of the same stuff going on. Like when E.T. was released, as they're chasing into the park, you know, when they crash the refrigerator car into the park and they try to escape and all the feds are coming, they've all got guns out. I mean, they're coming for him with weapons. And at some point they re-released it. They digitally turned the weapons into walkie-talkies. And I think Steven Spielberg's on record saying he regrets that. But, you know, that's just trying to make it match the ethic of the time. But when the movie released, it made sense to us that they would have guns. They were there to shoot.
You know, I didn't notice. I'm going to go back now and watch, because I bought my copy on iTunes a couple of years ago. I didn't notice whether they had walkie-talkies or guns in my copy. I'm going to go back and look now.
Yeah. I mean, so there's some intense stuff going on in this movie. The other thing that is, this is a movie about a really broken family, which when you're a little kid, it doesn't really sink in for you. But the father has left with a girlfriend to Mexico, and the mom's got these kids, and she's trying to hold it all together, and she's barely holding it together. And, you know, it's kind of it's an intense story, really, when you watch it as an adult.
It is. It's, you know, I think dad has left and mom's upset about that. Kids are upset about that. And there's a lot of stuff going on there. And the kids are pretty disrespectful to the mom, especially the older kid, Michael, right? That's his name. Yeah. The older kid.
So you've got all that going on. In the middle of it, they discover this delightful alien who just wants to go home.
He does. And he learns how to talk, and he learns how to drink beer. And at some point, E.T. starts bonding and becoming one with Elliot, is kind of how the story goes. And when E.T. does weird things, Elliot starts doing weird things. And
yeah, and that scene is just a great scene. It's when he first comes into Elliot's room. They play a harp, and I think the name of the track on the soundtrack is like Beginning of Friendship or something like this. And it's just this delightful, light little music track. I mean, John Williams did such a great job on the soundtrack of that movie. And you see them making that connection. Then they start itching their nose at the same time. And then Elliot gets really tired, and E.T. gets really tired. And it's just this thing where they have this bonded feelings throughout the movie. And it's, again, it's the thing when you're a kid, it doesn't totally sink in for you. But as an adult, it's actually quite subtle, you know, what they've done.
And then once they're bonded, Elliot goes to school and has to dissect a frog, which I'm not sure we ever did as a 10-year-old. Because when you're 10, you'd be, what, in fifth grade? I don't think I guess we dissected the frog maybe in middle school. I don't
remember. And I will say that at the time, I was dissecting frogs in school, but they were already dead. At least where I grew up, they did not have you kill the frog before you dissected it.
The frogs that I dissected as well were also dead. And I don't even know whether they dissect frogs still anymore.
I don't know that necessarily that was true to life, that part. But man, made for a great scene.
It did, because the frogs go free. Elliot kisses a girl. I mean, it becomes pretty fanciful at that point, I guess none of this story is really true to life, because it is about an alien.
It's almost, the movie is almost like a fairy tale, honestly. But and it's classic Steven Spielberg of the time, the way it's shot. I mean, there's lots of shadows. The scene where he kisses the girl is just great. There's complete madness that Elliot has created by setting all these frogs free, and everything is going crazy. There's a kid crawling on the floor. Elliot steps up on the kid to kiss the girl that's taller than him, and he just lays one on her, just like E.T. seen on TV. And then the last shot of that scene is you see the principal grabbing Elliot by the arm, dragging him off, and they shoot it on the ground behind the legs of the girl. And you see her heel just tip just a little bit, you know, and I'm just like, oh, Steven Spielberg, sometimes you just delight me.
In fact, so much of this movie was shot at kid level. And that partially because it's at Elliot's level, partially because it's at E.T. level, you know, partially because it was a kid movie.
I think I read somewhere that, like, so the character played by Peter Coyote, who's the scientist,
also known as Keys.
Yeah, he I think he's listed in credits as Keys, because every time you see him, he's got these keys. I think he shot from the waist down. I think I read that somewhere, that he shot from the waist down for almost the entire movie. Like, you never see him from, you know, from above the waist until very, you know, until things really start happening at the end of the movie.
Right. In fact, I found that kind of annoying, especially the very beginning. I forgot a lot of the beginning of the movie. And I forgot that we actually saw the other aliens from E.T. I mean, I realized that he was left, but I forgot that we saw all those aliens and there was this whole kind of chase scene at the beginning with keys. And I completely forgot the keys rattling that you kept seeing at the first bit of the movie. And I'm like, why are we just getting all of these close ups of this guy's pants and his keys? I'm like, this, I've seen it. Got it. Moving on.
When I watched it as a kid, it was just because he was the enemy. You know, he's the one that's going to get between Elliot and E.T. And that's, you know, the tension they were creating. I do believe some of those opening scenes, they shot a bunch of that at the time, but they weren't happy with the way it came out. But then when they re-released it, I think on the 25th anniversary, they fixed a bunch of those scenes, you know, with digital enhancements. So it was more acceptable or palatable. So I think you may have not seen some of that stuff the first time you saw it.
Oh, okay. I'll tell you, it was better the first time I saw it then. So I would like to get I will tell you, these movies are never better enhanced. Note to Steven Spielberg and George Lucas. Movies do not need to be enhanced.
George Lucas.
Especially George Lucas, leave it alone.
It's like one of those guys who just keeps getting plastic surgery until he ruins himself. That's what he does to his movies. I think Spielberg has even gone on record, like I said, saying he regrets it. The scene where E.T. is underwater in the bathtub, that was not in the original movie either. So there's a couple that they've added. Anyway, so they go through this big adventure and then we get to the climax, you know, where at the end, the gig is up and the spacemen show up and the mom finally finds out.
Okay, but I mean, why are they in spacesuits coming into the house? I mean, look at that. That's... is as if it didn't disconnect from reality for me enough. They're in NASA spacesuits and they're just like almost like zombies coming into this woman's house. I'm like, where is your warrant? Why are you just coming into this house?
Katie Floyd, where's your warrant? Get out.
You can't just come into the house.
I think like the, of course, for a kid our age, when we watched it, that thought never occurred to us. It was just a big scary scene, which is, I think, the purpose of it. But they send that point home when she goes to the window and he starts coming through the mini blinds. You know, that was terrifying. Yes. Sitting in the theater.
Why is that even necessary? Just ring the doorbell. Excuse me, ma'am. I think you might have an alien in your house. Can we take that off your hands for you? She would probably be like, yes, please.
And it's so intense. You know, right before that is when Michael finds him, you know, in the creek there, and he's gray and dying. And that whole scene between, you know, seeing him in the bathroom laying on the floor dying, and then the way they shoot the mom with a coffee mug, and she sees him for the first time, and she just slowly lets the coffee mug pour all the coffee on the floor.
Who does that?
Yeah. And then she tries to say, oh, you guys are just joking me. Okay. And then she realizes it's for real and she just loses her mind and goes straight into the spaceman. So
I got to tell you, I really, as someone who's probably, I guess I'm probably older now than the mom was in that movie, I did not appreciate how the mom was portrayed in that movie. And I get in all these movies, the mom is not portrayed well, because the movie is about the kids, but I did not appreciate how mom was portrayed.
Oh, really? In what way?
Again, it goes back from the beginning. They were disrespectful to mom at the very beginning. You know, mom didn't stand up for herself. Mom didn't take care of the snooty kids that were disrespectful to her. I mean, I would have been like, you're grounded. Goodbye. Go. We're done. No more Dungeons and Dragons. I thought mom was just not that strong. She seemed like she spent most of the time, I mean, don't get me wrong, she had a very hard life, and I get that, and that there was a lot of stress and trauma and all going on. But I mean, this is a mom who's been through a lot, and I didn't think that they did a great job with her.
See, so for me, I thought, you know, watching it again as an adult, Dee Wallace is the actress.
Yeah, and she's a great actress.
I thought she did a great job, because I felt like the story for the adults in this movie for kids was she is just barely holding on. You know, I mean, her husband's left her. She's got these three kids. She's got to, you know, she's got to make a living. She's got to take care of the kids. You know, single parent is not, that's a hard job, you know, and she's got three.
I get it.
And I felt like she, you know, the point of the movie was that she didn't have it all together. How else would your kid have an alien in the house and you not know it?
I guess that's the whole premise, is that the kid couldn't have the alien in the house without her knowing that. But the whole, oh, you're just kidding. Let me slow pour my coffee out. Let me scream at the spacesuits coming through the mini blinds.
Okay. I don't know. I feel like I do kind of understand the character. I think I don't. I have a lot of.
I get why they did it for the character.
Yeah, yes. I get where you're saying that too. But anyway, so that goes down, and then kind of the last third of the movie is the drama around him, you know, dying with all that going on. One of the things I read about this is Spielberg went to an ER and just hired all the nurses and doctors out of the ER. And those are all those people that are working on him are actual ER doctors and nurses. They're not actors. So that gives the scene. I do think there's a reality that there, you know, a reality that's to that scene that you wouldn't feel otherwise. And with E.T. there, and then you finally get the conversation between Keyes and Elliot, and you realize that, oh no, he's not a bad guy. He wants to protect him too. And boy, as a kid, when E.T. died, it slayed me so hard. I was a wreck. I think maybe I was just a simpleton as a kid, because I'm not sure my kids would have been as upset as I was. I was just floored by him dying. You know, he's not supposed to die. It's a movie, right?
It's science fiction. He comes back to life. Spoiler alert.
But I didn't know that. They put him in a refrigerator. You know, it's that just killed me. And then of course, you know, to turn it around, we get to the scene where I keep wanting to say Henry, because his name's Henry Thomas in real life, but Elliot, you know, sees him come back to life. And then there's this great kind of like slapstick thing with him crying, fake crying to keep them from seeing the heart glowing and throwing his towel inside there. And man, I think that's why that movie led to me just screaming out loud in the theater, because I had been on this ride, you know, and they had brought me so far down and they raced me so high up with that race through the construction project. Boy, did I love that.
Did you know that there was supposed to be a sequel to E.T.?
Yeah. And I'm really glad they never made it.
Right. Because it was based on this idea that Elliot got kidnapped by bad aliens and then E.T. had to go help him.
Yeah, I think that movie is like a perfect little bottle of the early 80s and late 70s. And I'm glad they never tried to do any more with it. The scene out in when they get out to the goodbye scene, you know, where they get to the ship and they get him there finally and they get to say goodbye to each other. I thought it was super touching the way they did it with each character and the music. Once again, that crescendo to that music at the end with Williams. I mean, just amazing the way that movie ends.
I thought for a minute, because I didn't remember, I thought for a minute maybe the dog was going to go on the spaceship too, but he didn't.
Well, I remember as a kid, I was angry because I'm like, the dog got to see inside the spaceship, but I didn't get to see inside the spaceship. You know, I want to see what's in there. And that's why I'm pretty sure the opening scene that had all the like the botany stuff, it seems like E.T. was like a biologist of some sort collecting samples.
Yeah, I think Spielberg said that E.T. is like part plant, part biological.
Yeah. So that opening scene, I'm almost certain wasn't in the original when I saw it, because I remember being angry at the end that we never got to see what was inside the ship. And I wanted to see what was inside the ship. And the fact that the dog went in and turned around and came back out, I'm like, oh, man, the dog got to see him, but I didn't, you know, so that was something. But, you know, the thing about E.T. is, so when I watched it again with the kids, when my oldest was pretty young, it just took me down memory lane so much. The specific memory of going to watch it with my friends at the theater and having such an emotional reaction to the movie as a kid, and then seeing, you know, it from a different point of view as an adult, and also being able to just kind of revisit my childhood a little bit. I mean, isn't that what we all want to do sometimes? It really was a great experience for me watching it again with my daughter, so much so that, you know, every year when the kids would say, you know, on my birthday, what do you want to do for your birthday? I would say, I want to watch E.T. And for many years on my kids' birthdays, we would all make popcorn and watch E.T. together. It was a once a year thing we did every year on dad's birthday. And now my kids are getting older. They're busy. I still find myself watching E.T. even if I'm alone on my birthday, because it just makes me happy to see it again.
So would you say that E.T. really is your favorite movie?
It's so hard to say, because I think in terms of kind of impact on my thoughts about the world, I think probably Star Wars had more impact, you know, because there's so many like morality lessons in Star Wars. I mean, I know that sounds pretty lame, but there are, if you listen to it. And as a kid, those impacted the way I thought about the world. I mean, I wanted to be, always wanted to be on the light side, not the dark side. And it's like stuff that it's almost, I don't want to say religious, but it is a moral compass of sorts that you pick up from watching those movies. So I'd say they probably had more impact on me. And I didn't realize how much I loved E.T. I mean, I had that experience in the theater and saw it, but I didn't realize how much I connected with it until I saw it many years later. So I had kind of a gap. But so it's hard for me to say what's my favorite movie, but boy, I really do enjoy this movie. That's why when you asked me, you know, what's a movie we could pick, I didn't want to go to the obvious Star Wars. And this is the very first thing that came to my mind.
I agree. That's a good thing. It's hard for me to say, and I'm not going to say anything because we're going to do this next year, what my absolute favorite movie of all time is. But I mean, it's there's so many movies that you could. But I definitely have three, four, you know, that really stand out.
Well, the interesting thing about E.T. is there's really not a villain in this movie.
Yeah. No, I guess that's true. There's not. Because you think Keyes is the villain, but it turns out he's not a bad guy.
So maybe that says something about me, too. I don't know. If you're listening, you haven't watched E.T. in a while, you should go watch E.T. Watch it with your kids.
Go watch it. It's available on iTunes. I think in clearly what I have, because I saw Inside the Ship and All, is the edited version. I don't think you can get anything other than the enhanced version these days.
Ugh. If you're in your middle years like me, if you watch it, you may be in for some delightful surprises. I mean, Katie was talking earlier about the Speak and Spell, but also, I mean, everything was timely. Even the commercials on TV were the commercials we were watching at the time. And you don't think anything of it when you're a kid and you're watching a movie, because those are the commercials you're watching at the time. But now, many, many years later, you look at it and you're like, oh yeah, I remember that commercial with Uncle Ralph. You know, I mean, all that stuff just comes flooding back. So it's kind of fun to watch from a nostalgia point of view. And I do think it's a movie you can still watch with kids. Although I know Katie, you know, has got some reservations about some pieces.
No, I think it's fine maybe with a little bit older kids. I mean, I wouldn't watch this with your 4 or 5 year old, but.
All right. Well, that's it. E.T. for 2018 and 2019, we're going to talk about Katie's favorite movie, which is apparently not Star Trek. So I can't wait to hear what I'm going to be watching for you next year.
You don't know that we're not going to be watching one of the Star Treks. I didn't say that.
Okay. Well, there you go. So probably J.J. Abrams' Star Trek, right?
I promise you it will not be that. It will not be that. Okay.
Well, thanks again, everybody, for supporting the show and subscribing to Relay. We really appreciate it, and giving us an excuse to sit around and talk about something that's not related to a fruit product. And have a great day.